the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hear us who might deceive us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. How do you end up in that kind of danger? How do you end up in a lion's den? There's a video, viral video going around, a tragic story about a little child, a toddler slides down into an enclosure in a zoo with a gorilla in there. They had to shoot the gorilla to save the child's life. What if it's a lion's den? And what if you didn't slip in? What if you were thrown in bodily by the king and locked in overnight? That's exactly what happened with Daniel. He emerges. No one had to tranquilize or kill the lions. He emerges the next day completely unharmed. How did he end up in there? And really, more importantly, how was he delivered from the mouth of the lion while he was there? We're going to be dealing with that familiar Sunday school lesson here on this Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, joins us. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you so much.
The very important, the most important point of this story, of course, is how Daniel is delivered, and I want to get to that. But there's a second most important point, and that is how Daniel ended up in the lion's den in the first place.
I believe the best verse to look at is verse 13 of Daniel 6, because his enemies made a plan so that Daniel would have to disobey the commandments of Darius and therefore is to be put to death. And why did they do that? Listen to verse 13. When Daniel refuses to do what the king says, his enemies go to the king, and they say to Darius, then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed. What we have here is a huge dose of people who hate Daniel because he is a foreigner. It would be like in some areas of the country, you have a neighborhood and all of a sudden a Muslim moves into the arena, into the area, and you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, what kind of Muslim is he? And you have a hands-off kind of thing. And if he starts doing something good and other people praise him, then those who don't like Muslims may say something bad against them. It was this kind of a situation that Daniel was a foreigner and therefore an exile from Judah. Remember, this is during the Babylonian captivity. And therefore, why should he have such a high official situation? Under Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was made ruler over the province of Babylon because he had interpreted a dream over all the Magi. Under Belshazzar, he granted Daniel title of third ruler in the kingdom because he interpreted a vision. And now Darius plans to set Daniel over the whole kingdom because of his excellent spirit. And so those who were really jealous of Daniel wanted to get rid of him. And so they made a plan that appeared to get Daniel into problems and forced the king to throw him into the den of lions.
Now, I want to go back to some of those details here. But yes, really, this is Daniel refusing The book of Daniel is filled with stories like this of either being forced to worship a false god, or in this case, as you pointed out, being forbidden to worship any other god than the king. And Daniel simply must disobey this command. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. It is very similar to what happened in the New Testament when those in the New Testament were told, guess what? You are not allowed to preach. In fact, Acts 5, verses 27 to 29, has a very similar situation. The high priest questioned Peter and the apostles, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." So it's not that we disobey the government, but when the government tells us that we are to do something that is sinful, then we will definitely disobey that command because we must obey God rather than men. And Daniel had no intention of stopping his regular prayers every day to the true God in order to pray instead and worship Darius.
So he is cast into the lion's den, and that would have ordinarily meant almost instantaneous death. In fact, the way the story ends, it does does lead to instantaneous death for those who had plotted against Daniel here. But Daniel goes down, and what happens?
He ends up being in the lion's den, and in fact, there is a stone placed over the lion's den. There I found some real interesting similarities between Daniel and Jesus. You know, Daniel is accused of breaking the law, and Darius attempts to find a loophole in the law to save his friend Daniel. Jesus is accused of being against the Roman emperor, and Pontius Pilate tries to find a loophole. In fact, he ends up washing his hands, saying he is innocent. Daniel is placed in a tomb-like pit with a stone rolled over it. Jesus is placed in Joseph's tomb with a stone rolled over it, Joseph of Arimathea. And Daniel is saved from the lions. Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and both do not experience destruction of the body, neither Daniel nor Jesus. And I just can't but help remember that Daniel 6 says, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth." And in regard to Jesus, Psalm 22, "Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me." And listen to verse 21 of Psalm 22, talking about Jesus. "Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen." And thus in the morning, Daniel emerges from the den. Jesus is resurrected from the grave.
So this is one of those types and shadows that we talk about in the Old Testament of the resurrection of Christ.
Yes, in fact, I'm doing a study of prophecies and fulfillment in the New Testament. I had the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I thought there were about 40 of them. I'm now around 350 passages in the Old Testament that are direct prophecies as are found in the New Testament. And I said there's two kinds of prophecies. There's a direct prophecy, and that is where he's going to be born in the town of Bethlehem, or he's going to be pierced in hands and feet. Then there are what we would say indirect prophecies or typologies, or what you said is kind of a shadow. For example, when Israel came out of Egypt, it says, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Well, guess what? The New Testament takes that verse and applies it to Jesus when Joseph and Mary and Jesus are returning from Egypt in order to get away from Herod. So those are what we call typological or kind of shadow. There's 300 plus of them in the Old Testament. And the more you read the Old Testament, the more you come to an understanding that the whole Bible is authored by one individual, and that individual is God.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Daniel in the Lion's Den, in Daniel chapter 6. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the king who didn't want to do this in the first place and seems very relieved that Daniel himself is saved from the mouths of the lion.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Lutherans talk a lot about doctrine, liturgy, and vocation, but as Martin Luther would say, what does this mean? In a book called Didache, Issues Etc. regular guest Professor John Pless brings together the Bible, the small catechism, and the hymnal to teach the faith. He shows how what we believe is expressed in our daily lives and in our worship. You can find Didache online at emmanuelpress.us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Daniel in the Lion's Den. Talk a little bit more about this, Tom, because the king doesn't want any of this to happen in the first place. Not only is Daniel deceived in this whole plot, but the king himself is deceived as well.
Yes, it is very clear from the text that the king even has some hope for Daniel, because he says when he is put into the den of lions, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And so it was not just Darius, but as I said before, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, that recognized in Daniel something really different. And that's why he was given great officialdom in that area, even though he was not of that race. Now, when the king, who couldn't sleep all night, gets up in the morning, immediately he goes to the tomb, and this is surprising, he declares, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" Now, to me, that really takes some faith to say something like that, because you have no idea whether or not Daniel is alive. He really should be dead at this point. But Daniel responds, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. They have not harmed me, because I was found blameless." Now, we need to hear what the book of Daniel itself says. Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him. because he had trusted in his God. That is the most important verse, I believe, that we show once more that he had believed in the Lord God. And that word, believe, is the word that we talk about when we say that we're saved by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ. He believed that he had a Savior. Whether he would have been saved at that moment, it really doesn't matter. Because many Christians, early in the ministry of the Christian church, they died. And they had the comfort of 1 Peter 3, verse 13. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. And think that we do not have a lion around us? 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith. And so once more, we have this good news about the faith. And for those who say, well, what if we fail? Like Daniel, who was strong. Well, what if we don't go the extra mile? What if we chicken out, so to speak? Then we hear 2 Timothy 2:13. Even if we are faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And you and I fail every day we sin where we put ourselves first. But God remains faithful, forgives us our sins, and I think that's a great lesson to get across to the little children who are wondering, how can I handle life when I can get out, when I get out there? Well, you can handle it because you will never be alone.
Now, there are two verses here that I want you to connect together, and you started to do it just a moment ago. He says, you know, the God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also you, O king. And then connected that to the verse that you were just talking about, because he had trusted in his God. I think we can definitely say, and I think you would agree, Tom, that he's found blameless before God, not because he's blameless himself, but because he trusted in God to deliver him.
In fact, the Hebrew word for blameless there is actually translated as innocent. Now, how can you possibly be innocent before God? Well, outwardly, Daniel had not broken any of the temporal or ceremonial or civil laws, but of course, he was a sinner like you and me. But he was blameless or innocent because through faith in the promises of God, he had received the gift of the forgiveness of sins, which means the curse of the law, namely that you should pay for the punishment eternally of your sins, had been taken away. In the same way they were taken away from Daniel, as they had been taken away from David when he sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan the prophet came to him, and after telling him a little parable, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. The law had its effect. So the gospel came through, and Nathan said to him, your sin is forgiven. You shall not die eternally. The same law and gospel throughout every passage of the Old Testament, culminating in the New Testament death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
And then, finally, just that angel there, if you would. We've only got about a minute, but I know that you like to at least speculate here that this might not just be an angel. What are your thoughts there?
No, it's very clear that when it says God sent his angel, if you take a careful look at that, the word is for the word angel, but a lot of times in the context, the angel is none other than the second person of the Trinity, namely Jesus Christ himself. I believe that the angel who put to death the firstborn on the night of the Passover was Jesus, and I believe the angel here who shut the lion's mouth was also Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, before he became incarnate.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing the centurion's servant. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you.
You can have the same kind of insights, in fact, even more than we're able to provide in a short conversation with Pastor Tom Baker, with Concordia Publishing House's Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. It's designed for the Sunday school classroom of all ages. You can get a free sample from them, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find a link to Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get our weekly update on the November elections from journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. And we'll continue our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, talking with Dr. Ken Sherb about what Luther was doing while all the other theologians were in Augsburg making the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. Luther was at the Coburg, and he was a busy, busy man over the months that he was there. We'll talk about all of that tomorrow with Dr. Ken Sherb in our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.